Oh boy. I don't actually need that, so I might put that down because it's a bit off-putting. We're now in our fifth week of exploring, Penny's alluded to it before, this paraklesis word, this word that means coming alongside, of consoling, of extolling, of comforting. And we're now in the fifth week of this, what it means to be a caring community, a community that journeys together. But today we acknowledge that life is tough. The title is a quote from a book. Does anybody actually know which book? Strong at the Broken Pieces? You're quite a refined lot of people. No, I didn't either. It's Ernest Hemingway's book, A Farewell to Arms. And he writes, "The world breaks everyone. And afterwards, many are strong at the broken places." I'm just going to change this slightly. "The world breaks everyone, and afterward, many are strong at the broken places. It's tough. We break. And sometimes those breaking places can remain a weakness, or as Hemingway says, they can become a strength. And there are many places we may be broken in life. Broken bodies, broken hearts, broken spirits. But one of the joys of being part of God's family is that we don't need to carry our pain alone. We can journey together at our broken places, and we can help bring comfort and strength and healing to one another, always aiming at those things that bring peace and help strengthen one another. And whilst we may be the person who holds, the person that listens, the person that weeps and comforts, this coming alongside, this comforting and strengthening is ultimately God's work. It's his heartbeat. It's his passion. He comes to mend and restore. And it's what God in Jesus came to do. During his years of ministry, this is what we see him doing, often one life at a time, sometimes in groups. But on his final day, he gave himself so that all broken people for all time can be restored and experience comfort and grace, forgiveness, healing and peace. So let's look to the Master, to the source of all healing, and see how Jesus restores a broken woman. You might need this though. Give you one of these. There you go. Yes.
Luke 13:10-17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over, and she could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrite, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
Jesus is doing what he always does on the Sabbath. He's teaching in one of the synagogues, it doesn't say where. He's unpacking the scriptures. He's explaining the heart and mind of God. And he's so wrapped up in this task as he's doing this, he doesn't notice her at first. This poor, dear woman, so bent and crippled that she can only see a small square in front of her feet, absolutely bent double. But when his eyes fall on her, He stops mid-flow and he calls her forward. Now all the eyes and attention are on her. Movement is difficult and slow. Pain keeps her bowed. Her vision is reduced to the dust and the now attentive people's feet. Guess that's how she would recognize people. It's all she could see. But forward she comes. Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. And then he touches her. He puts his hands on her. And as he does so, she straightens for the first time in 18 years. 18 years of brokenness, of never being able to see someone face to face, of seeing the sun, of seeing a horizon. 18 years of pain and weakness. And now she looks straight at Jesus, eye to eye. Fabulous. What a healing. And she praises God. Jesus sees this woman, her brokenness, and he sets her free. She doesn't ask for healing. She shows no evidence of faith. Jesus doesn't look for faith from others. And that's something just to pause and reflect on. Because sometimes we may demand faith from people when we pray for them, or look for faith from others. But healing is a freely given, gracious gift of God. And Jesus simply cannot stand to let this precious daughter of Abraham remain broken, remain in bondage, remain separated from community for another moment. He acts. She doesn't ask. Fabulous. This woman is deformed, distorted, disabled bundle of humanity. And until this moment, when she tried to straighten up, a knot of muscle in her back would stop her, where her spine had fused and locked into that position. It probably started 18 years with just a slight back pain, and to ease the pain, she would have leant forward. And as she got on, it went more and more until she was bent double. Now, today, this condition would probably be diagnosed as, I shall try and say this right, ankylosing spondylitis. How does that work? Is that okay? Thank you. A kind of arthritic condition that deteriorates over years, a chronic progressive ossification of joints. Painful. Bending. Deforming. Her body was broken, racked with pain, and it reduced everything about her, her movement, her life, her vision. But the passage says that is not all. She also had an inner bondage, a spirit of infirmity, an internal weakness, an internal lack of strength, which Jesus lays firmly at the feet of Satan. If you look at the passage, that's what it says. Satan held her in bondage, but she wasn't demon-possessed. Why am I so sure? Well, because demons always reacted to the presence of Jesus. They often cried out, and Jesus would speak directly to them and shut them up. Jesus never laid his hands on someone who was demon-possessed, but he laid hands on this woman. Now, Jesus is specific. He says this woman is bound by Satan, restricted, tied up, tethered. And I think if you remember what James brought to us last week, we can perhaps understand it. Because Satan is the father of lies. So maybe she had a running commentary like, who do you think you are? You'll never amount to anything. What makes you think anyone cares about you? You've always made bad choices. You'll never change. You'll never walk tall. You'll always be ill. What do you expect? And some of these learned helplessnesses that James helped us look at last week would be going round and round and binding her. Poor old you, a victim again. You can do nothing about this. You're helpless, weak, and you always will be. And so the lies spin and tie up this woman. Her spirit breaks. and her back bends. And Jesus says, you are set free. And the bondage that Satan has kept her in is broken. He calls her forward. He breaks the lies, the weakness, the cycle of despair, the cycle of lies that have wound around her. And he sets her free from her physical condition and her inner bondage. And then he lays his hand on her. And he brings her back into community. For 18 years, she has been seen unclean, unable to be part of community, unable to be touched, subhuman. Jesus touches her. And in his holiness and his healing, he restores her to the center of community, right in that worshiping space. Reinstates her as the daughter of Abraham. That's how he addresses her. We have no idea of her name, but she is a daughter of Abraham. This unnamed woman is a symbol of the freedom that Jesus gives. Freedom from disease, freedom from bondage, and freedom from isolation. Anything that robs a person of life in its fullness. That's who Jesus is, and that's what he comes to do. So what can we learn from this as we walk alongside one another? As I said at the outset, life is tough. It's a struggle. It's part of the human condition. And at some time or another, we will come face to face with our frailty, with our brokenness. Things happen that wound and weaken. Unfortunately, some people never seem to recover from the battering and the bruising blows that strike. Their hearts still reel and bleed from deep wounds of hurt and horror and hatred. And to cope, they wrap bandages around themselves. All kinds of bandages. I'm fine. I'm fine. It might be the way they pursue life. It might be how they relate to others. It might be how they try and deal with their own wounds. But God knows. Jesus knows. It's a wonderful verse in Hebrews. A very complicated book in the New Testament that I keep going back to, trying to understand. But it says that Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus is not touched with our infirmities, but with the feelings of our infirmities. Because infirmities always damage feelings. Feelings. Emotions, those things inside of us, they impact our body, and our broken spirits in turn impact our spirits. Doctors have long known that holding things like anger and guilt and hatred and fear and stress, resentment, bitterness, release chemicals into our bloodstream, into our nervous system. When I was a kiddie and had piano exams, oh, my stomach was so knotted. I couldn't ease, I lived in the loo, that's probably too much information. But that's what happens. Emotions affect our body. That's what psychosomatic means. There are no inbuilt shock absorbers in our emotions, it goes straight to our bodies. So a wounded spirit throws it into our body, and the hurt runs deep. Sadly, our hurts and our wounds in emotions and our bodies are often treated as unimportant and superficial by us. No, 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 I'm fine, I'm fine, 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 fine. Or by other people. They'll get over it. They'll be fine. So we wrap a bandage around ourselves. But God knows that our wounds are there, and he notices. And he does not treat them as unimportant and superficial. Way back in the Old Testament, it got him very angry. And he spoke to the prophet Isaiah, and he said, prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, where there is no peace. They act as if these wounds are only scratches. All is well, they say. And this word for peace, this shalom, means wellness and wholeness and completeness. That wasn't what those people were experiencing. They had wounds. People were coming to worship. And God said, these people are hurting, and I see that. And you're just saying peace. You're speaking the words of wholeness, but you're not delivering. Which is why Jesus stopped in his tracks on that day and said, come forward. You've come to worship, but you need wholeness. Be set free, woman. Let me touch you. Jesus saw both the physical and the spiritual need of this woman, the complex nature of her needs, the depth of her pain, and he brought release to every aspect of her life, social, physical, and internal. Life is never simple. Human experience always runs deep. And as I prepared the sermon this week, I've spent time listening and walking with people. It's a privilege of ministry, and my heart aches. Stop pretending. Stop pretending. You hurt, and it matters to God, and it matters to us. We think we're Christians, therefore we should have life that's easy. Where's that come from? Not scripture, not from Jesus. We're promised struggles, but we're not promised that we do it on our own. Many of us are struggling and wounded and hurting, and we need to stop pretending. And when we do that, when we're real and truthful that life is tough, we find the way towards healing. It's okay to admit our brokenness. We are all cracked pots, all broken in one way or another. Stuff happens in the journey of life. We get fractured and damaged and broken. So just let's look at some of those broken places so we might recognize them in ourselves or maybe in other people. Broken relationships. I would be really surprised if anyone has not experienced hurt and brokenness to some degree in a relationship, even in this last year. Your relationship with your mum and dad always easy? With your spouse, with your children, with your church, with your colleagues? People hurt. They say things. They might not mean it, but it hurts. Broken relationships, broken dreams, that job we always longed to get, that exam we thought we'd pass, our goals and expectations, thinking life will turn out in a particular way. But sometimes promises are broken and goals are unmet and expectations are unrealized. And it hurts when hopes and dreams are shattered. There's broken hearts here, a marriage breakdown, a relationship breakdown, the loss, a loved one, miscarriage, childlessness, unrequited love. That's a tough one. Being betrayed, abortion. All of these things break our heart and cause a spirit to be wounded by sorrow and grief and sadness. And then there's our image, how we think we should be. It was interesting this morning, I was going to wear some posh navy blue shoes to go with my outfit. And A, I thought it looked terribly formal, but B, I wouldn't be able to stand. I'm useless with heels. And I thought, I want to be able to concentrate on you, so I've got my old Baron boots on. But your image, how people perceive me. I'm wearing scruffy Baron boots. What it says in the magazines we should look like. What we aspire to. It may be that people have teased us. I was teased for being skinny, I wish. You know, we things are said to us, and they come in and they hurt, and it's about how we look, how we are. And it may be just ourselves giving us an impossible ideal to live up to. It's usually about half stone less than we are. Or fitter, why can't I do a marathon? All these things, they damage our self-worth and our self-esteem. And the broken body that we saw in this woman. Much brokenness like this is for all to see. But it could be a long-standing severe illness that goes undiagnosed. an incurable disease or an injury. There's much about a broken body that can be hidden. Physical abuse, sexual abuse, self-harm. Wear a long jumper, nobody will know. Broken bodies. And the other brokenness is a bit more that we do for ourselves, this thing of cisterns. The thing that we do to ourselves that breaks us is going to things other than God to mend us. The things we go to for respite from our hurt, the other places we go to for comfort and strength and peace, we turn to broken cisterns. Again, God speaks through Jeremiah. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Instead of going to God, the living water that will continually refresh, continually give us, sate our thirst, we dig our own cisterns. It used to be cut into rock, these cisterns, and it was often cracked, and the water seeps out, and you're left with mud and slurry. And that's a picture of our lives when we try to satisfy our deepest longings with anything other than God. Rather from drinking from the fresh water supply, we wallow in sludge, in possessions, in money, in pornography, in status, in fitness, in football, in whatever distraction we prefer that takes our minds off our pain. And these things may promise to satisfy to a point, but they're failing water holes that will turn into mud. So many broken places. And a broken place produces a wounded spirit and a pool of pain. And how we deal with our pool of pain depends on our journey. The pain of disappointment, of loss, of humiliation, shame, rejection, guilt. They all sap life. And we wrap bandages around our lives, trying to ease the pain through lots of different cisterns. We think we can heal the pain, but pain is only the symptom. If I stand on my foot, my toe will hurt. But that's only a symptom of the fact I've got my other foot on it. If I take my foot off, it stops hurting. Pain is the symptom, and it's the wounded spirit that needs healing. Then the pain will go. And for a wound to not remain as a wound, it needs a scar which shows that healing has taken place. And many people, many of us live with an open wound, and we wrap it and wrap it and wrap it, but when we listen, when we talk, we realize that they're not scarred, they're seeping. And we can help them heal and unwind the bandages, but we can only do so with God's grace. A passage that keeps coming back to us as a leadership team says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Notice it says that if we don't respond to God's grace, a wounded spirit, a root of bitterness will poison our life and those around us. We talked earlier about the fact that a wounded spirit, a resentful spirit, a bitter spirit affects the whole of our body. When a root of bitterness takes hold, we become victims of a broken place. And if we live as victims, we remain victims, and we will victimize others. As someone said very wisely to me, hurt people, and they do. Hurt people, hurt people. If someone criticizes me, I criticize back. I project my bitterness onto you. I'm wounded, I'm going to wound you. And so many of us have experienced this in ourselves and in others, but the antidote to bitterness is grace. The New Testament writer Paul describes a thorn in his flesh as an infirmity, a thorn, a wound, a pain, And he wants to be free from it. And he asks God to deliver him 3 times. And each time God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. My grace will deal with this for you. After the 3rd time, instead of responding to the pain of the thorn, he embraces the grace of God. And his wound becomes a grace scar. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul has learned that God's grace was sufficient, that the pain would be eased with God's grace. And when we listen and comfort and come alongside and take people's brokenness seriously, we can help them uproot their bitterness and receive the grace of God. And another way in which grace brings healing to our brokenness is through forgiveness. Forgiveness is something we choose to do. It's a tough one, but it's a way to bring healing to ourselves, to deal with that inner resentment. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. We can choose to respond to his grace because he's promised to supply enough grace for every circumstance in our life. And we forgive as we have been given, sets us free. And I think perhaps if we understand more of what we've been forgiven, we'll be able to forgive more easily. If we can think of God's limitless forgiveness, that can strengthen us enough to forgive others. Forgiveness is choosing to let go and choosing to embrace grace. It's a bit hackneyed, but they say that if you hold on to things, if you hold on to the bitterness, it's like taking poison and wanting the other person to die. We just hurt ourselves. Unforgiveness and bitterness bind us up and they imprison us. We can choose to nurse them, our bitterness, our hurts, or respond to God's grace. We become bitter or better. We're left with either an open sore or a grace scar. Back in the temple, Jesus looks up and calls a woman forward. He places his hand on her, his hand of grace and mercy and love and insight, and her bondage is broken. Suddenly, instead of looking at his dusty feet, she lifts her head and looks at his eyes and knows freedom. She sees the one who has given her wholeness and she praises God. And Jesus looks at each one of us this morning. He's here by his Spirit. And on the cross, he took every sort of brokenness and wound into his body. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The risen Christ is a wounded healer with scars to show for it. He has scars on his back from his lacerations. He has scars on his brow where the crown of thorns was thrust on. He has a scar on his side where a spear went in and pierced his heart. He has scars on his feet and his hands, but there is healing there. He is risen. And the message of the cross is that God not only saves us and forgives us, but that he heals the wounded soul. He heals the broken spirit. He bore every one of our brokenness on that day on our behalf, so we don't have to carry it anymore. He has taken it. He has the scars to show for it. He paid the ultimate price for our freedom and our healing, and he has overcome death and disease and the bounds of Satan once and for all. And we can come to him, recognizing our pain, not making it small, not saying it doesn't matter, but we come to him with our wounds. And if we're willing to take off our bandages and be vulnerable in front of him and let him touch us, we, like the woman, can know healing wholeness, freedom, and new life. And when we know that for ourselves, then we can come alongside and journey with others, helping them to take their bandages off and allow his healing to flow through us. This is paraclesis at work, coming alongside with the comfort and strength of the wounded healer, making each one of us strong at our broken places. One Sabbath, Jesus saw a woman. He called her and he spoke words of freedom to her spirit. He healed her physically. He loosed her. He touched her. He poured strength into her broken body and healed those disabling wounds. She stood and praised God. Normal church was suspended. She walked tall and journeyed out of church that morning, a transformed woman. Not only a woman who's physically healed, but whose spirit was released and made whole through the power of Jesus. I pray that we'll have that experience as we journey together. May we be a church that reaches beyond these four walls into the brokenness in the streets around us in Thornhill and Harefield, coming alongside people, not because of who we are, but taking them to the wounded healer. We don't have to be bound by the crippling wounds of the past or live in the pain of the present. We don't have to live at the broken place. We can be liberated and set free. Would you stand with me? Jesus walks among us this morning by his Spirit, and I just want to ask him by his Spirit to come alongside us. I'm going to mention a few things that I've mentioned in the sermon, and if this relates to you, just tell Jesus, and he will touch you because he loves you and he wants you to be free. It may be that you have lived with the pretense of everything being okay because that's how you're brought up. But inside you ache. What somebody said, what your dad said, what happened when you were a child, what happened last week. Hurt runs deep. Bring that to Jesus. Because he cares, he doesn't see it as superficial, and he wants to bring you wholeness. Your broken place may be in relationships. It may be in your dreams. It may be your heart. It may be how you see yourself. It may be that you keep going back to a broken system that does not satisfy. Lord, in all these broken places, we pray that you will bring your healing and your wholeness. Help us unwrap the bandages of habit we've put around us and come before you, the one who heals. And Lord, if we need your grace, we pray that we receive that. You have given us everything. And Lord, if we struggle to forgive, help us remember that you have forgiven us everything. Lord, if there's a bitterness or resentment within us, we pray that we will give that to you. You who bore it on the cross already. And receive your healing forgiveness. Holy One, set us free, we pray. Set us free, we pray.